Scripture this morning is from John 8, 31 to 47, and it's Jesus talking to the Jewish leaders in the temple. And he said to them, "You are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "They had never been slaves to any man on earth. What do you mean, set free?" Jesus replied, "You are slaves of sin, every one of you. And slaves don't have rights, but the Son has every right there is. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because my message does not find a home within your hearts. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father. But you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if he were, you would follow his good example. But instead, you're trying to kill me, and all because I told you the truth I heard from God. Abraham wouldn't do a thing like that. Nope, you are obeying your real father when you act that way." They replied, "We were not born out of wedlock. Our true father is God himself." Jesus told them, "If that were so, then you would love me, for I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? It is because you are prevented from doing so. For if you are the children of your father, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and a hater of truth. There is not an iota of truth in him. When he lies, it is perfectly normal, for he is the father of lies. And so when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe it. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of one single sin? Not one. And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone whose father is God listens gladly to the words of God. Since you don't, it proves you aren't his children."
Thank you, Bert. Are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? This was a common theme that went through our teaching as we learned. As those who were pastors who went to the Middle East learned. Either you're in or you're out. Can I have that picture, please, Mandy, when you get a second? When we were in Egypt, we learned that when you were in Egypt, you were in the middle of this green belt. This is a satellite picture of Egypt. This is the Nile River that's running up in through the middle of the wasteland. And you could tell just by all of, wow, that's fancy. I love that. Thank you. You can tell by all of that that it's just lush and green when everything else on the outside is barren and dry. This is all because of the Nile. There is no rainfall in Egypt. It rains maybe an inch a year in Egypt. This is because the Nile floods and the Nile recedes. Nile floods and recedes and waters and nourishes the land. So either you're in Egypt and you're in with all the fruits and vegetables, you're in with all the grains, you're in the land of plenty if you're in ancient Egypt when the Israelites were there. You're in or you're not in. Out. And this is a very thin line in between. There is no real dividing line here. There's no real straddling this area. You're either in one or the other. It's sort of an odd way to start our discussion about the last of our senses sermons. We have a sermon series that we're working through here called Come to Your Senses. And today's the last one. Listen and hear that the Lord is good. And so it's sort of a convicting thing, isn't it? So either you're in or you're out. But if you take a look at the text today, Jesus is saying this to the people, to the Jews. He's saying either you're in or you're out. And Jesus is speaking with the Jews. Now before, and I quote the Jews, now before we get bent out of shape about who the Jews are, we have to realize that Jesus was a Jew himself. His apostles, the 12, they were Jews themselves. And almost every one of his disciples, those who followed behind him, were Jews as well. There was a few non-Jews, Gentiles, mixed in with that mix. And Jesus is speaking to these Jews. And he's really saying, if you hold on to what I say, if you listen to what I say, then you are my disciples. Then you're following me. And the truth will set you free. Which is one of the most misquoted lines in all of Scripture. The truth will set you free. Then you will know when the truth will set you free. And then they answer him, we are this group of people. Then they start to go, well, wait a minute. We're Jewish. We are Abraham's descendants. Because we were born into this family, we are Abraham's descendants. We are in. We are part of it. We've got it going on because we are the Jewish descendants of Abraham. And Jesus told him, reflected on this, he says, you're a slave. And they said, well, wait a minute. We've never been a slave because how can you say we're set free? We've never been slaves of anybody. But Jesus says, you're a slave. You're a slave to sin. And they said, we can't be slaves to sin because Abraham is our father. We're in. We're in, you see. And Jesus says, you've been finding ways to kill me. He said, Abraham would not find that way. He says, even if God were to talk to Abraham, Abraham always listened to God. Always listened to God. Even if, remember the story of Isaac having to take Isaac off to Mount Moriah. And God told him, take Isaac, your son, your one and only son, and take him and go to the mountains of Moriah. And there offer him as a sacrifice. This is the promised son that Abraham was promised by God. And God's telling him, go and do it. Abraham heard God, followed everything that Abraham ever did, and went off to the mountains of Moriah. Abraham didn't do what the Jews are doing right now. Abraham listened to God. And Jesus says this. He says, if you were Abraham's descendants and you would do what your father did, and you're not doing what your father did. And they say, and then they start getting a little accusatory towards Jesus. They say, well, we're not illegitimate children. Or as Bert's, we weren't born out of wedlock, said Bert. We weren't born out of wedlock. You see, they're saying, well, at least we weren't born from that Mary girl. Remember that little girl who became your mother? We're not like that. We're real Jews here. And we got God himself as our father. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, then you would love me because I come from God. And he sent me. Why am I not clear to you? What's the problem here? And then he says these words. He says, you listen to your father being the devil. I tell the truth, and you don't understand me, says Jesus, because your father is the devil and the father of all lies. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear, the reason you do not listen, is because you do not belong to God. Wow. Wow. You know, before, I don't know if you read the text at all like this, and I think we all sort of do in a way. When we read the text and we go, wow, those Jews, they really didn't know what was going on, did they? They really didn't have a handle on it. You know, and we may not really think this out loud, but I think deep down we feel this. We go, you know, you Jews, you had Jesus right in front of you the whole time. What's your problem? What's your problem, Jews? You had Jesus right there. And yet, they messed it up. And Israel always seems to be messing it up all throughout the Bible. You know, we read this throughout the Old Testament as well. Israel messed up. The Lord punished them. Then Israel came back, said, we're sorry. And then they started messing up again. And that goes on and on and on. And then Jesus comes and they're messing it up again. And we're saying, why can't you just get on God's program? But before we do that, before we start thinking that way, I think we've sort of got to look in the mirror. I think we got to sort of look in the mirror. Because sometimes I think that we, too, think that we are in. Sometimes I think that we, too, because we are Christian, because we come to church, we think that we are in. And it's true that God says once you have been forgiven, then that can't be taken away. And that you are held in God's hands by Christ forever. But it sort of makes me wonder. Because as we were talking about in the prayer and a little bit earlier and now again, we're seeing a church close in Ashfield. Presbyterian Church, and it's all too common these days. We go, oh, yeah, that's a shame. But it's devastating. It's really devastating. I looked it up. 22 million Canadians identify as being Christian. That's two-thirds of the population identify as being Christian. I don't see two-thirds of the population of Canada in our churches these days. Sorry. It's just not happening. And so that makes me think that many of us are believing the lie. And if we're believing the lie, if we're believing lies, then we are following the father of lies, not the father of truth. And that makes me really sad. And so what about this whole thing, well, I was in, but now I'm out type of thing. You know, I was in. As a Christian, I was. Well, I'm starting to wonder if we ever were Christian in the first place, some of us. Maybe some of these people really didn't believe in Jesus. Maybe we have some people among us right now who really don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they're wondering, what is all this about anyway? Either we're in or we're out. Jesus makes this very clear. You know, and God's got a funny way of turning things on its head, doesn't he? Because in Egypt, in ancient Egypt, when you were in Egypt or you were out, God pulled Israel out of Egypt. And they dumped everything that they had upon Egypt. The Egyptians did, gave them all their gold, all their riches, everything. They just dumped it out into carts, pulled it behind donkeys. However, whatever was going to get the Israelites out of their nation, we are going to make sure that Israel is gone from here. They decimated Egypt. Egypt was never the same, will never be the same as it was back then. Funny thing is that when God left with Egypt, or Israel, sorry, when God left with Israel, either you were in Israel or you were out. Either you're with God in the wilderness, doesn't matter, or you're out anywhere else. And these Jews, they kept on to this. And now Jesus is telling them, you're no longer in. You don't believe in the words that come from Jesus Christ, you're out. And folks, we are in this time slot right now. Either we're in or we don't believe in Jesus. You know, I think that if we think that we've got it made in the shade with God, that we're pretty good. You know, me and God, we're on good terms. I think we struggle. I think we're out. If we don't have this constant tension in our lives, where it's almost every day when we're wondering on what to do in all of our stuff, whether it's following God or whether it's following our sinful human nature, if we don't have this tension all the time, every day, if we're not struggling in this area where we're wondering if we're doing right by God or not, if we think that it's all right and that we can all just get along and hug each other and live in peace and harmony, I think we're out. Because our sinful human nature goes exactly against what Jesus says. And there should be this constant tension, this constant wondering of what to do, this constant twist going on in our lives. If we are thinking that we are on board with God all the time, I'm thinking that we're probably out. Can I ask, what kind of lies are we listening to? Because the father of lies is telling us, what am I believing anyway? You know, if you're thinking that you're worthy of the salvation of Jesus Christ, that's a lie. Because you're not. It's only by Christ. Only by Christ. If you're thinking that you're melding in with the world with this false sense of security, you say, you know what, I'm good. I'm fine. You're believing the lie. If you think nothing could touch or harm you because you're Christian, you're believing the lie. Because you can be harmed. And you will be harmed. When we think that we've got it all soft and good in our nation, in our wonderful nation, we live in the best country in the world. I agree with that. But if we think we got it soft and good living here, you got another thing coming. I read a news story yesterday. It's about the province of Quebec and their legislature. They have a cross, a crucifix, at the front of their legislature. Which is great, right? It's great. We're going, great, cross, there you go. Lovely. Certain people within the legislature are complaining about it. Quebec just, of course, got a new government. New provincial government. And the new leader of that government says, we're going to leave that cross there because the cross isn't just a religious symbol. It's the symbol of morality and the symbol of our history. The symbol of morality and the symbol of history. Now we may think, you know, that's not bad. You know, that's okay. They're leaving the cross there. but they just redefined what the cross means. The cross doesn't mean Christ came and died, even for that province. The cross means simply, or that they're Christian. The cross means simply, well, we have morals, so we'll promise not to kill everybody. Sorry. Just as wash of me, believing the lie. The devil chisels away at your faith. He will do it and do it and do it again. He will do it so that you don't even know it. Because this seems okay, right? Let the Quebec government do this. It's all right. But it's just another example in our Canadian society where our Christian values are Christian values, where Christianity is taking a hit. We're believing Jesus is taking a hit. And I see it happening probably weekly now. Something else is taking a hit in Canada. Oh, by the way, this week, we can smoke weed, no problem. I'll just add that into there. Can you feel my frustration? How do we listen to God? How do we listen to God? I was talking to the kids about going out in nature and listening to God. I was talking to them about reading the Bible and listening to God. We know this stuff, right? You know God's trying to get your attention, right? You know that. He's just not screaming it from every cell phone. He's not screaming it from every television. He's not screaming it from the rooftops. It's always been there. We always look at it. We always see it. Our nature is around us. And so the songbirds that sing in spring, yeah, they come every spring. We know that. The leaves rustling in the trees, especially these days as they're starting to dry up, they have that certain sound. We know what that sounds like, and we can attribute that to God. But the best way, and probably the only way to hear God, is to be quiet. Is to be quiet. And that, too, is so hard for us to do. When we got cell phones that are screaming at us 24 hours a day, buzzing, pinging, sound bites, whatever they do, these cell phones, all the time. I've got one. I know, it's annoying. Don't worry, I love talking to you all. I really do. And I love hearing from you, and I like being organized, and I like all that stuff. But it gets a little overwhelming sometimes. The best way that I found, and I'll share this just before I close up, to hear God talk, to hear God speak, is to grab a pad of paper and a pen, a good pen, one that's going to write for quite some time. Maybe just grab a new pen, splurge, grab a new pen. Put it beside your bed. If you happen to wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, open the pad of paper and ask God this simple question. What is it you want to say to me right now, dear God? And start writing what you hear. Start writing what you're thinking. Start writing it. And at the end of it all, then put it all down and go to sleep. Because chances are is that you will sleep. Here's the most important part. Don't forget to pick it up in the morning and read what you wrote. Because I think you'll be astonished at what you read. I've been doing this for years. I found this out in seminary from a very wise professor who told me about this procedure. And I've been writing a lot. Karen will attest to it. Karen's the one who has to read it, by the way. Because you can't decipher what I'm writing because it's in the middle of the dark, right? So I can't even see what I'm writing. But this is a good way to hear our God, because in the middle of the night, chances are is that you are quiet, that you have just woken up and that you're totally in tune with what God will tell you. Amen. Let's pray. Help us, God, to hear you. Help us to listen to you. Help us to find the place where we are in that tension. And help us, Lord, as we are in that tension, to choose you. Help us, Father, to be quiet, to understand that we have time, because time, too, is a gift from you. Help us, Lord, to understand all of it, so that we can hear your voice speaking to us. In Jesus, amen.